Good morning, friend.
Hi, love. Good morning.
How are you today?
So good. How are you?
Good. We're in a new setting. Is this your kitchen?
This is kitchen. Welcome to my kitchen, everybody. We've got all kinds of Christmas cards still up, but I take those down last because they're just so joyful.
I love it.
Yes.
Christmas is sticking around at our house because we can't find the other decorations that we had it before Christmas.
Yes.
So,
Like we're not sure what we're doing with it.
yeah. So, big time first world problems.
Yes.
Oh,
Morning. Hi,
wow.
Andrea.
New day, new year, new month.
Yes.
Holy smokes.
Back to work.
I know, right? You're like, okay, wait, what do I do? Oh, yeah.
It's taking a minute, but in the same breath, because I take so much time off in December and the 1st of January that I do feel really refreshed and I feel joyful and full. So I'm actually like loving working the last few days of like being back and getting back in that. But it does take a minute to like warm up the machine just a little, like, wait, what are we doing? How do we do this? That's right. Oh, this. So
Oh yeah. Okay. Back in
yeah.
the saddle.
Yes.
Hey, can I brag on you and your big milestone for a sec?
Okay. Sure, go for it.
So, many of you have known Tiffany for a lot of years. We've known her for about nine, but she just hit a huge milestone in her life and business, and had her 10-year birthday for her launch, her startup, her business. And it's just so we had a gathering the other night and celebrated her 10 year. Some of you probably saw it on social media. And what an incredible gathering of people. The circle that Tiffany has created and the movement and the impact is just incredible. And we were so honored to be there. So just wanted to give a shout out to you for a big 10-year milestone. So congratulations, friend.
Thank you so much. Yeah, can you guys believe this? I've been doing this thing for 10 years of coaching and speaking and all the fun things. And it's just, yeah, it's like, wow. And then statistically, small businesses, there's only about 30% of them that make it to the 10-year mark, right? Because the nature of life and challenges and change and so forth. And I just feel so grateful. And as Andy's sharing, I believe in celebration. And that's something I've actually learned in these 10 years. And he knows that, and Natalie knows that, because that was one of their first coaching assignments, was to celebrate their Blue Diamond rank at the time before they were ready to go presidential. Is and I just invite all of you to think about that. Have you celebrated where you're at and what you're achieving? And for some of you, where you're getting yourselves stuck energetically, which is where this whole universe operates off of energy, is it's always postponed celebration, right? Like once I'm here, once it's perfect, once I lose another 10 pounds, once I, go, yeah, I might be presidential or I might be gold or I might be silver, but only until I'm gazillion diamondaire will then I finally serve and support and like celebrate myself. Did you like that new rank I just created?
I love it.
Gazillion diamondaire.
That was fantastic. I'm writing that down, actually.
Put it on your vision board, gazillion
Yep.
diamond there. But you see what I'm saying? It's just the point is to celebrate your progress and to be part of that. And so I just wanted to gather last week. We had about 100 plus people in the same room at Sundance and just had so much fun and so much joy. And of course, not everyone was in the same room, but a lot of these people who've been part of my life and path, and it was just joyful. Several people, that's the big comment, is like the energy in that room was so high vibration because it was a lot of thought. People in the same space that are growth minded and positive focus and working on those things. And so
Yep.
I just felt thank you for being there and for the words that were shared and for celebrating. And it's just joyful. And so last week, though, you guys, because my birthday was on Monday and I had a fun celebration with friends, and that was a late night. And then the next night was New Year's Eve, and me and some girlfriends have a tradition to stay at this really pretty hotel in downtown Salt Lake called the Grand America. And some of us went off to this dance and all this stuff. And anyway, by the time I got back to the hotel and then like hung out forever, we didn't go to bed till like 5 a.m. And then I had my 10-year celebration Saturday. So it was like celebration, celebration, celebration. It just felt so good to like get some good sleep the last few nights and just like, oh, you know, back to being grounded.
Yep. Time to be, you're just a party animal. That's all there is to it.
Hey, you know, if there's a persona I got to own and run with, I guess I will. I mean, I can't be the bad cop all the time, you know, I gotta be, there's other parts of my, that, you know, we got to party sometimes. I just feel like play hard, work hard, right? That's a good mantra.
Exactly. Yep. One of my favorite mentors and leaders said that we should spend a third of our time working, a third of our time playing, and a third of our time sleeping. That's how you should divide up your 24 hours. So I've definitely got some work to do to balance out that pie, but it's a great model to work towards.
Well, in all sincerity, jokes aside, I do think when you're in a playful energy and that you are allowing that in your life, your energy just seems to be more in lightness. And therefore, when you are working, I feel like you're more magnetic, right? You're more in a space where, because if everything's always all work, and that's who I was for a long time, then if that's the case, then it's like, and all of you building doTERRA, a lot of the invitation and a lot of the excitement of building doTERRA is selling the dream of freedom. Yeah. Right. And the ability to play more. And so it's important that energetically at some level that you're modeling the thing that you're hoping others can have for their lives too. Right. Now that's not to say that like we're just totally irresponsible and we, you know, live on the ski slope or at the day spa 24/7 or whatnot. But there is about like, hey, am I doing things that are joyful in the life that I'm living in this moment? So
love it.
Something to consider.
So you've probably taken hundreds, if not thousands, probably maybe tens of thousands of people through a process to get clear on what they're going to create this quarter, this next year, even this next decade. I'm curious to know what have been some of your insights as you've taken so many through that process?
Mm. You want to do that? Shall we?
Sure. Can't think of a better time.
Well, I think so too. So if you're able to, some of you I know are maybe watching or listening on the go, which is fine, but invite you to grab something to write with, a journal or a notebook, and we'll do a little bit of some work together, some working questions, and some of this is a session where if you want to go there, Andy, we can, if it's okay, let's spend a few minutes on that.
Let's do it.
So, and then I have a couple of free resources for y'all that you can go through it in a deeper way. But I think that, you know, everything begins with clarity. Clarity is the beginning of creation. And so we spend the most time in that clarity. And I'll give you a couple of clarity prompts. Some of you may have listened to my podcast that went live yesterday. It's called The Power of Intention. And that might be something you can find on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, if you want to give a listen to that. And we talk about there's some question prompts, things about starting out just generally like, what do I want, right? And that might sound like a simple question, but that's not always easy to answer, right? But to look at your life categorically and thinking about, you know, from your personal life, your financial life, your health, your business, your home, your charity or church community space, you know, the joy space that we were just talking about. It is really looking at the beginning of creating anything new comes with clarity. It's just asking, and the more clear you are, the easier it is to manifest or begin the manifestation process. And I want you to think about your clarity in the same way as if you were ordering off of a menu, right? If I walked into a restaurant this evening and I just said, hey, I'm hungry, bring me some food. I'm in the general right place. But in terms of specificness and clarity, is it clear and specific? Is it measurable? Where rather than that is ordering a very specific item prepared a certain way off the menu. So same thing for you is thinking about like a lot of times where we maybe are, we start into the lane, but we're kind of in the lag space is that we're setting goals or we're saying things around intention, like I want to be healthier, right? And that's moving you in the right space. Or I want to be better with my time management, or I want to be more connected to my spouse. That's all moving in the right direction. The more that you can take that to some clear and specificness, like, you know, I move my body every day is very clear, specific, and measurable versus I want to be healthier this year, right? Or how many ounces of water you drink, or, you know, that you're regular, you take your doTERRA supplements every day, you know, or various things like that, is that you're clear and specific with what you're wanting to create, but beginning just with the, what is it that I want? And then moving into, you know, questions. I love the question, what do I want to feel more of, right? Most of our goals come from a feeling that we're after. We're wanting to feel more confident. We're wanting to feel happiness. We're wanting to feel freedom. We're wanting to feel strength, connection, purpose, peace. So being really clear on what do I want to feel more of, and being clear about the core desired feelings that you have. And let me give you an example of that. Some of you, if you've been through my Success Academy course, we talk about this in detail on week two around visions and goals, but we drop into and identify within eight categories. So let's use one. I'm going to talk about business. And in my business life, I'm clear. What do I want to feel more of is I want to feel creative, productive, connected, and that I'm adding value. Notice that not one of those core feelings has anything to do with, quote, sales, right? Now, it's great too, and I still have sales numbers and income numbers, revenue numbers, but the numbers are an outcome where I want you focus more on setting goals or having clarity around the process, if that makes sense, because the process is what you directly control and influence. In other words, I'm listening to a great book right now. If you want to know what I'm reading, listening to in this moment, is a book called Atomic Habits by James Clear.
So good.
It's so good. And I'm loving it because thinking about atomic or the atom is so tiny, but so influential, right? And it's moving the needle, and it's thinking about habit change, or he's talking about systems change, where for a lot of us, we're focused on our goals as just an outcome, which that's awesome. I still want you to have, and I do as well, the big vision board. You know, I want you to have your rank claimed of what you want, and, you know, the destination of the travel you're going to take, or the dream home, or the vacation, or whatever the things are. Definitely have your outcomes that you're after, your rank, your income numbers, your titles, your, you know, if you want to publish a book, whatever those things might be for you. But where you really are in the change process is focusing on changing at a habit level or systems level, as he's calling it, or I would have, as I just said, process level. And so I want you focusing on, as I mentioned in my work, I'm focused on those core desired feelings of being creative, productive, adding value, and connected, right, in relationship. And when I'm doing those habits or I'm in that process regularly, that I'm being productive with my time, that I'm being creative, I'm creating new content, that might be a new product or a book or social media content or newsletter content, is, and I'm going to, when I'm in my creativity, right, matched with then I'm focusing on adding value, connecting in my relationships and those things, that product, all of those things, those four core desired feelings for me. When I'm regularly in the process of those things, sales naturally come. And I'd invite you the same thing. When you think about growing your doTERRA business, what helps you grow your business? And you think about, of course, contacting people, right? For all of you, that's the big umbrella. And that might be mentoring people already on your team. That might be follow-up calls. That might be doing a booth at your local women's show or trade show or health fair or your farmer's market, hosting online webinars, right? Or whatever various things might be. As you think about the various habits that you're doing that will help you lead to the outcome of sales, of rank advancing, and so forth. So yes, of course, have the big vision. But then I invite you to spend 98% of your time focusing on the habits that lead to the outcomes that you want. Hopefully that's having a resonance for you, but being in the clarity of that. So for me, I know the outcome I want is I want to feel vivacious. I want to feel vibrant, strong, healthy, right? And so for me, I'm clear on that outcome and I can focus on that. But then there are certain habits that help me have that, like good rest, a good solid evening ritual, great morning ritual, time for meditation and prayer in my life, you know, that I'm well hydrated, I'm taking my supplements, I'm moving my body, I'm spending time socializing with people that really nourish me and build me up, things like that, is being clear on the habits that lead you to the outcome that you want. So that's the beginning of creation of clarity. And from clarity, I'd say into decision. Right? Is it's one thing to think about these thoughts. Every single one of us, Andy, already know, have a lot of knowledge. But our dynamic, our challenge isn't in knowledge.
Yeah.
Right now, I listen to new books and podcasts and go back to even old books every single year. I do that to regularly nourish my mind, simply to keep my mind in a trajectory of focus. Like, here's the person I'm becoming and what I want to be cultivating in my life. I love being a lifetime student. I am a lifetime student, 100%. But I'm not doing those things necessarily because I lack knowledge, although I will gain a new insight or a gem or something or a reminder of. It's just like, for me, why I go to church every single week and worship is a part of my life isn't about necessarily I learn new things, but I'm renewed in those principles. I'm renewed in truth. And I do the same thing with podcasts and books and coaching and seminars and things like that. So yes, put those goals, definitely put those on your vision board as your learning goals, and that learning is a part of that. But it's not because that you're necessarily lacking a whole lot of knowledge. Overall, like, health is a goal for all of us. And if it's not, if it is ignored, it will become one, right? And so health is something we can all relate to, but it's not that we often lack knowledge. Like, I don't know what to do to be healthier. It's the gap is not the knowing, it's the doing. And so that's where decision comes in. And decision is really what determines your destiny, determines your outcome. Is I invite you to sit with the question, what decisions do I need to make, right? And what actions or habits, what's one habit, not 27 habits. But if you're here with us on the Zoom, I'd love for you, and on Facebook Live, I'd love for you to do the same thing, is to share in the comments, what's one simple habit you're going to commit to doing right now at this season of your life, right? For this, and not to say even for this year, but even for the next 7 days, what's one habit in your health or in your business or in your self-care that you're going to commit to that you know if you did regularly would have a significant influence? And that might be, hey, I'm in bed by 11 p.m. Or for some of you, it's earlier or later, or the habit that I move my body every day for 10 minutes, or I drink at least 60 ounces of water a day. Or I eat or drink greens every day, or whatever your habit might be. It's just choosing into it. It's making decisions about them. We all know that if we're taking better care of ourselves, that's a good thing. We're going to feel that. We know that if we're contacting people and nourishing our businesses and putting ourselves out there, we know that we're going to feel and see a change with time. But where we sometimes, as humans, where myself as well as maybe the rest of you can relate to this, we get ourselves tripped up as we start a new habit. But because it's small and simple, and we don't see overnight success with it or significant change, it's easy to abandon it with a short amount of time, right? Because what we're talking about, though, that 1% and that compound interest adding up, and what a difference that can make. The third thing is, you asked me in 10 years, like, how have people created that shift or created that change, right? Clarity, decision, visualization is a biggie, right? That's part of the toolbox. I have on my website a full training called the 7 Strategies for Goal Achievement. And it's about an hour and 15 minute audio with a 12-page companion workbook that walks you through some powerful habits and strategies. So if you want to access that, it's free, no strings attached. You can get it at my site, tiffanyspeaks.com. And so, because I want to leave a lot of time, I want to jump us into some live coaching here today, which is our intention of being here. But that will walk you through as well. One of those key tools is visualization, is all things are created twice, first mentally or spiritually, and then second in physical creation, right? Like an architect with a brand new home or a building, is they're in creation mode regularly through the mental, the blueprinting, and the process of creation of that experience. And so thinking about that yourself is visualizing who you're becoming this year. That's one of my favorite questions, is who do you choose to be and who are you going to become this year or even this week or this month? Is thinking about your beingness, your becomingness, because being and manifesting have a direct correlation, right? Jim Rohn says it that way, that if you want more than what you've got, become more than who you are. And so thinking about that for yourself, that it's like, okay, who am I becoming? My beingness is part of that. And visualization is a big key. Seeing yourself at gala, you know, walk the stage and hear your song played, visualizing seeing yourself maybe, you know, regularly exercising or crossing the finish line of a half marathon or something like that, or seeing yourself in yoga, right? Like as Wanda says, one of her goals is yoga 3 times a week. is seeing that, Wanda, regularly is part of setting yourself up for success, is seeing yourself do that. And so those are, you know, three initial things that I think will help us create. Two last things I want to tuck in. The fourth thing I'd say is commit it to the physical. Put it in writing. Put it somewhere you see it. Use the backdrop, your wallpaper of your cell phone. Create a vision board. Things where you have reminders, or what we could call anchors, that remind you of who you're becoming. Because here's the thing. I'm gonna share a truth bomb in this moment. Without vision, we simply default to what's familiar, right? When we don't have vision in front of ourselves, in front of our lives and our eyes and our thoughts and our focus, is we all simply repeat the past. We repeat what's familiar. Is your familiarity is your default comfort zone. It's like a temperature in a home that will just naturally bump down to that. Unless there's conscious vision and intention and working on both the emotional body and the physical changes and skill sets, is we will just simply repeat that. And so commit your dreams, your goals, your new habits to writing, a 3x5 card on your bathroom mirror, your wallpaper on your cell phone, your, you know, vision board and things like that. That makes such a difference. And finally, the fifth thing that I think has the most influence, right, of creation. There's several, it's like a recipe, right? We're making a great cake of what are all the components to creation. And they're not all encompassing in these five, but one of the fifth and most influential life hacks is who you hang out with and who's in your space and who's on your support team, right? Now that might be right now, you might be listening to, you know, Brooke Castillo or Rachel Hollis or my podcast or the Share Success Call or Tony Robbins or whoever might be that you drop yourself into spending time with people who influence your brain, whether online, in your ears, or in person. But maybe that's one of your goals for 2020. I had to think for a sec, like, wait, that's right. We're in a new year, 2020. I'm like 2020. We're in 2020. Is thinking about being intentional. Like the life I've created is in relationships, you know, not perfect, of course, but intentional. Is so as Andy's talking about, you know, the room we had Saturday night at Sundance with just so many incredible high vibrational people, that's because I've intentionally chosen to invest in great people and great relationships. And then people that have chosen to invest back in me. And those are the people that get prime time in my life. As I invest in them, they invest back in me. And it's a beautiful mutual friendship and relationship. And so, but think about that, is who you hang out with has a direct correlation to what you're achieving. And if you want to achieve more, you get around the people who are achieving, right? If you want to be around people, if they're healthy and fit and in shape, hang out with those people if that's more of what you want in your life, because it will naturally, your social and relationship pods and influence will directly pull you, right? So when you think about that, and you know, it's why we're so always aware of that as parents or aunts of, you know, children, is we're always aware about who we hang out with or who our kids hang out with has a significant influence. Well, you never outgrow that, no matter your age or your height or what you've been through. Now, I'm a believer being kind to everyone, but I am as even, you know, more, I'm just as passionate about, yes, kindness to everyone and very intentional about who sits at your table and who you spend time with and who you allow to influence you. Because that will directly, right? One of my mentors would say it this way, I'll know where you'll be in a year or 5 years from now based on two things, the books you're reading and the people you hang out with, right? And I don't say the people you hang out with any kind of judgment, because I don't look at humans as some being better than or less than, because we truly are all sons and daughters of the heavenly high, right? Of heavenly parents, that you are a divine creature and everyone you know is also a divine creature. What is different, so our worth is all the same. What is different is vibration. And that comes from the choices we make, the thoughts we think, the environments we hang out in, the things we watch or listen to, the things we put in our body, our spaces, right? Like doTERRA, an essential oil bottle, like this little bottle of Clementine that I added to my water this morning. You know, there's a vibration to this. It's a high vibration. Having, you know, plants and art and things in my home regularly as well, and fresh flowers, as I do, that there's a vibration to that. And so it's just being aware about where you're spending a lot of your time and who's influencing you. So those are some key thoughts around, as you ask me, thinking about how I've helped thousands and thousands of people create change or manifest something new in their lives. Those would be five of the core principles, right, that you could look at that help. Now, there's, of course, more, and there's lots of resources on my site. I have a recommended reading list as a free download as well, and that, again, the goals training, the seven strategies for goal achievement that will help you. But just start small. Pick a simple habit. What are you going to start doing immediately today? And you create identity to that. When you think about what would a high achiever listen to? What would a top, you know, top performer or a high vibrational or vivacious woman or healthy man, a healthy person, what choices would they make? I was listening to that in The Atomic Habits yesterday, this woman who lost over 100 pounds. And he was sharing this as a friend of his, where she just daily asked herself the question multiple times in a day, what choice would a healthy person make? And that helped her re-script her identity rather than, you know, what do I want to do? What do I feel like doing? I'm in this moment. I'm not sure. It's like, what would a healthy person choose? What would my high self choose? What would my presidential self choose? What would my, you know, amazing humanitarian self choose or whatever? Again, you start thinking about it from that perspective, and those are things that will directly shift and shape you. Andy, anything you want to add to this? Thank you for asking, and it's been fun to share some of that.
No, just thank you so much for guiding us through that. I still remember the first time you took Natalie and myself through this process and how foundational that was for us. I mean, we it's so easy to be down in the trenches and just hacking away without coming up for air and looking around and saying, wait a minute, what tree am I actually hacking at? You know, am I moving the right mountain? Or am I just pushing out of habit? And so I love the questions that you've shared, and especially the quotes. I tried to capture as many as I could in the comments. Just juicy nuggets right there. So much goodness. So just thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Thanks for asking. If anyone else, if you have questions about what's been shared, by all means, pop them in the comments on Facebook Live or here on the chat box on Zoom. And then if moving into, we'd love to serve and support you of any questions that might be up for you. Welcome to the first Share Success coaching call of the year for 2020. You know, but if there's anything up for you, if there's anything in terms where you're saying, I want to work through something, or I want to strategize something, or I'm stuck in something, or my mentoring or leadership or whatever might be up for you, we'd love to serve and support you.
By the way, we've got five times as many people on Facebook Live, and they're just giving you tons of hearts.
Aww.
Tons of thumbs.
I can't see it in a moment, but I often catch it after, so thanks for the love.
And they're sharing their personal goal habits as well.
Yeah, so, I love that.
Good stuff.
Can I share, Andy, a quick thing, fun thing I'm doing this week, fun giveaway?
Heck yeah.
So if we're Instagram friends, you may have seen this. Maybe you haven't because it just went up last night. If we're not Instagram friends, you can find me at Tiff Peterson. And in my stories I shared last night, so being my 10-year anniversary, and I love to celebrate. I'm a party fun, and I love gifts and things. So we're doing some fun giveaways there around. You can choose from an hour-long Zoom one-on-one coaching session or for your team training, an Amazon gift card, any product of my store. I'll take you to lunch, my treat here in Salt Lake City, and you can pick my brain about anything that you want. Or my three favorite books bundle sent out to you. So there's lots of different prizes and gifts abound sharing content, but there's a lot of things I'm sharing on Instagram and Facebook too, but the giveaways on Instagram is I'm sharing over this week 10 lessons in 10 years that I've learned about this journey and creation. And so I've shared 4 of the 10 so far, another 3 tonight, another 3 tomorrow that will come out. So there's just some fun things happening there, some great content and ways to help support you as you move into a new year.
That's so awesome. You have such a giving heart and so grateful for everything that you do, and wow, thank you.
It's fun. Okay, let's coach.
Okay, so go ahead and pipe your question in or raise your hand if you're in Zoom. We'd love to bring you on live and let's do some coaching. Can I share one of my favorite nuggets from Atomic Habits?
Yes, please.
So can you see my screen right now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is a graph in Atomic Habits that continues to rock my world. It's basically showing what will happen in the course of a year if you just improve 1% every day. And so, you know, it doesn't look like much for a long time. And then there's just this hockey stick effect that, you know, that's what your results will look like over the course of a year versus if you decline by 1% every day, it ultimately gets to zero. Yes. So, we all know, we've all been preached to about compound interest, but I think we take for granted what the potential is when it comes to ourself and, our performance. It reminds me of Tiffany and I have a common friend, Kari Utz, and she made a post on Instagram. She's like, am I a perfect parent? No. But am I trying to be a perfect parent? Again, no.
I love her. Shout out to Kari. We love you.
I know. She is one of the funniest and dearest souls on the planet. And I just love that concept, you know, like striving for perfection can actually have an adverse effect. Going for 1% better every day is a lot healthier.
Yeah. And sustainable, right?
Yeah.
Realistic. And so, because what he's talking about is that if our behaviors, like when we start a new thing, if our behaviors, we all know the behaviors to do, but if we haven't been shifting into, again, the mindset, the identity, or looking at the systems, if we're just focused on an outcome, then we often won't stay with the behavior change, yeah. Right? Like if you work out for a whole 3 days in a row and you're like, wait, I'm not like cut up and ripped up and I want to be, you know, or I haven't lost 50 pounds in 3 days. That's not natural law. But to his point, yeah. Is you'll see that tipping point is that energy, that's why we focus again on the process. Same thing with doTERRA. When I see where people, leaders get it wrong in their business is that it's only rank focused. Now I want you to have intention on a rank, but you got to be intentional and focused heavily on the behaviors and on the actions and on the systems that will lead to the outcome. And so making it about the joy of serving people and the joy of helping them with their health and wellness every day. And like, I'm going to connect with more people. I'm going to connect every single day. I'm going to connect every single week. I'm going to nourish people. I'm going to love on them, pour into them. But where we get it wrong is we then regularly are taking an evaluation of the scoreboard. And in our health, that would be the evaluation of the scale, where it's like, oh, well, I worked out all week. Or you might be like, I connected all week, but I didn't make $1 million in connecting for the week. Or I didn't rank advance in 1 week. Or I didn't, you know, lose all the weight and get on the scale that, wow, I've only lost 2 pounds in doing this for the week or the 10 days or whatever. And instead making it about the habits. I think that's so brilliant. So thank you for showing us that graph, because it's so true, is that shift will truly catch up to us if we're consistent with it.
I'm a visual learner, so I can see stuff. We got a question from Facebook Live. Jay is asking, I'm having my first Facebook Live for our team. Some builders and mostly customers. Do you have a suggestion for our first topic that can build engagement? Well,
what would you say?
I would say make a post in your group and ask them, you know, like just get more in sync with the team by asking them, well, how can I serve? That's still one of my favorite questions. And I think one of the most powerful ways to influence is by asking, what can I do to serve you today? So I'd say post in your group, you know, we're super excited. Got a big, our first live coming up, and maybe give them some options or let them comment too. But Tiffany, what would you say?
I love that. Is ask what, yeah, take a pulse to that. But I think every time I'm leading out with anyone new is I think it's wise to anchor in the why, right? Is start with their why and their vision, similar to some of the things we've talked about today. It doesn't have to be necessarily, not everyone's ready or wants to go super deep on that, but at least touching into their own health, their own wellness, you know, what they want, what they're after, and why they want it, you know, is really getting anchored into some purpose, I think is so, so valuable.
So good. All right, we've got a question from Wanda. My goal is to give more. I've been allowing fear to hold me back. I'm working on digging deep to identify, open, and release. Any suggestions to jump out of my comfy nest and fly? So my first question for you, Wanda, is are you game for coming on live with us today? We'd love to dialogue with you in person.
There she is.
There she is.
Wanda, can you hear us?
That's as live as I can get. You guys don't want to see what I really look like.
You're great. We just love to dialogue in person. We've found it works a lot better.
So I've been trying to, you know, figure out what these fears are that I'm allowing to hold me back. So I've been really just trying to focus on, you know, identifying what those are so that I can release them and let them go.
So what do you feel like those fears might be?
I think it probably that just fear of, you know, what people are going to say, how they're going to react. You know, that I don't want to come across as pushy. And I mean, I believe, you know, I'm in doTERRA, I'm a silver in doTERRA, and I believe in the product, I believe in the company, and I think it boils down to the problem is just believing in me.
So you're concerned about what people might think of you. And if you came across as pushy or salesy.
Right.
So let's just play out that scenario. Let's imagine that you're doing a presentation, you're sharing with somebody, and they come away thinking that you're salesy or pushy. What would that mean? What impact would that have?
I guess that fear of just not coming across to them as, you know, that really being authentic about my care and concern for them when, you know, that's really, it's all about, you know, helping them. And that they will just, I don't know, think that it's, you know, I'm just trying to sell them something rather than really having true concern for them and their needs.
So, so let me ask you, when you share doTERRA with somebody, are you doing it just for the sale, just for your commission?
Oh, no, absolutely not.
So, so if you're clear, like how clear are you about that?
Well, I hope that I am. I mean, I try to, you know, focus on them and their issues and health concerns and share the things that I have had success with. So yeah, I think I'm pretty clear.
Okay. So it sounds like you're clear on your purpose, right? You're there to serve, you're there to add value.
Right.
And you're not there just for the commission.
Right.
So how much is it serving you to act out of fear for something that's not true?
It's not.
So I want to invite you to just say, you know, thank you to this fear. So I want you to hold that fear in your hand as an object.
Okay.
And just say, thank you so much for trying to protect me and for offering me the knowledge and the certainty that I have. And I now release you, for you no longer serve me.
Awesome. Thank you, fear, for showing up and helping me to realize that my purpose is clear and that my goal is to help others. And I now release you because you no longer serve me.
So let me ask you another question. How comfortable are you with the idea of receiving value back after you create value for others?
I think I am.
So I want you to imagine that you're a presidential diamond and you've impacted tens of thousands of lives and you're getting a check every month for $60,000 or more. What feelings come up for you when you visualize that $60,000 being in your bank account?
It's really awesome, just because I know, you know, with that $60,000 that I'm just helping more. It's not about me, it's about them.
Are there any feelings of guilt that you're taking money from, you know, friends or family, or is there any buts in those feelings?
I want to say no, but evidently there is, because I'm listening to some garbage.
So I would just invite you to maybe do some mirror work.
Okay.
Around, I am a producer. I create massive value and that value flows back to me. I'm a servant leader. And as I lead a movement, people listen and people follow. And those who are supposed to connect to my message and join me in my mission. And those who don't, do not.
Okay, cool. So, I like that.
So just to be clear, you know that not everyone in the world is meant to be in your tribe, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Even though I want them to be. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yeah. So that'd be my invitation is to do some mirror work, like Tiffany had coached Natalie 9 years ago and that has served us so many times. The more certainty you bring to that conversation, the more you will move forward powerfully with zero attachment to what people think of you.
Okay.
So I think you've self-diagnosed really well. Building belief in you and your mission will be the catalyst to releasing the need to not be judged, or the need to be perceived a certain way.
Okay. I like that.
Tiffany, I'd love to hear your thoughts. What would you add for Wanda?
Oh, I love this. And I'm over here taking some notes. So it's so good. So Wanda, thank you for the courage to share, because everyone listening either live or back to the recording can relate to this. So thank you for being willing to come on live and to talk through it. Is a couple of things are universal in there. One is that, yes, we want everyone to like us. We want everyone to be in the tribe. And that's such a beautiful heart. It's like, oh, I want to help and serve everyone. And the reality is the thought, one of the key lessons I want you to capture and put in writing is you can only control how you show up, how they respond, how they react. right? One of my very early mentors would say, never read your own press clippings, right? Because whether they love you and they rave about you, or they dislike you or speak ill of you, and I've had people do both, right? I've had some people do both parts of that, where they've been like, I'm your biggest fan, to like, I'm your biggest critic. So, you know, this is human life and human experience. But the reality is, those are such a small part of it. The bigger part is that there are so many people that you will bless and that you will connect with and you will serve. So one of the ways I help myself stay out of the fear, because fear or self-doubt, like even for myself, as much as I teach about self-confidence and self-core work and so forth, my own self-care ebbs and flows. And my own, I should say, my own emotions ebbs and flows. Most of, I have several self-care rituals that are pretty consistent, but still not perfect at it. And even if I was perfect at my rituals, my emotions would still ebb and flow. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
So your feelings are going to change all the time. What doesn't change or doesn't need to change all the time is your purpose.
Right.
And when you're so clear on your purpose, why are you doing this? I'm showing up to serve, right? I want to add value. I want to be a blessing to someone else. I'm ready to do that. And whether it's someone you've known for 30 years or you met 3 days ago, is you control how you show up. So be heavily anchored in your purpose. I'd have it written down. I'd have it posted somewhere where you give yourself a call to action. Like, babe, get over yourself. Let's change more lives. And you talk yourself through it that way, is I'm on a purpose. I'm in purpose. I'm on a mission. And if not everyone's going to like me, I'm okay with that. I'm looking for the people that do resonate with me and that are ready for change. And I'm going to keep loving all, whether they do or don't. I'm going to just keep showing up that way. Is your purpose can be consistent. Your emotions will never be consistent. Now that's okay. Why we develop tools in the toolbox, you know, things like, you know, tapping, oils, energy work, the Sedona method. There's lots of different things you can do that help you process your emotions, because they will come up. But what doesn't need to change is your purpose, your truth. And your truth is, you have this big heart that wants to share and love and change a lot of lives. And you can do that all the time. And you literally write it down and see it regularly as, my purpose is, I'm on a mission too. And those are some of your sentence stems that you fill in the blank, every one of you, right? And then put that somewhere you see it regularly. That way when the emotions are off, or you're not feeling as confident, or someone didn't respond the way you wanted to, and you want to hide and crawl in bed with Netflix and some good Uber Eats, right?
Right.
Yeah. I do. I mean, you guys, can we just say, I mean, I'm so grateful for the invention of dry shampoo and Uber Eats. Big time. Game changers, right? Next, of course, essential oils. But that's true. Oils are primary all day, every day. But for yourself, you're all the time. But if you only follow through when you feel like following through, or when you're feeling exceptionally confident, you will have very sparse results. Because what changes the game in anyone's life is what they're consistent at. And that's where you must be rooted in purpose and mission, because that can be something that navigates you whether you feel like it or not. And you go and you do anyway. Right.
I love it.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much. I'm ready.
Awesome.
Thank you, Wanda. Appreciate Thank your you. Share with us Thank today.
You. Thank you guys so much.
All right. We've got a question from Shelly on Facebook. I recently broke my ankle and I'm literally hobbling around with a cane and walker at 56 years old. How do I approach people about wellness the next year when I feel so broken and exhausted from this injury?
Yeah. Can I share that first?
Please jump in.
Shelly, first of all, I'm just sending you so much love and that cute little ankle, right? And life is like, hey, we're going to give you an opportunity to practice some fun things. So I just first send you so much love and healing to that ankle and so forth. Secondly, I just invite you to be aware of the story. Right? Because the story we tell becomes the reality that we're living. And so I just want you to be sensitive to that. Is just because you broke your ankle doesn't mean you can't share about wellness and health, right? And the way that you take care of yourself, and that even if anything, we could also reframe it in this way. The fact you're out still sharing about wellness and health versus just hiding at home is something that I think could work to your favor, right? You're like, I'm this passionate about this mission that I want to keep sharing it, even though I'm out here hobbling around, right? So that being the case is, and think about, there's lots of ways you can influence your own health, your supplements that you're taking, right? Your skincare regimens, the water you're consuming, the food you're eating, right? Maybe even the weights you're lifting as you sit on that couch and prop that ankle up, is there's all kinds of ways. So number one, I have empathy for where you're at, right? It definitely feels like a setback. You can feel it's not comfortable. You don't have to love it. So I'm not just trying to paint a smile on it. I just want you to be open to that this injury doesn't equal that your business tanks, or this injury means you're not a well person, right? And the other thing I just invite you, if this speaks to you, is I think 56 is a vivacious age, or it could be. I think 88 could be that. I think 27 could be that. Is, you know, the thing with age and people, or I just had a birthday and handful of people have been like, so how old are you? And I don't have any shame in sharing that, but my response has become, I'm vivacious, right? Is that everything is energy, and that's who I choose to be and what I want to be about. We have a story about what it means to be a certain age, right? If you're 17, you're too young to, and that's not true, right? If you're, what, 33, what age does that mean? If you're 56 or you're 97 or whatever the case might be. There's someone in my life who I think is 97 years old, and that man is running around creating so much change on the planet that it's not even funny, and he's 97 years old. And it's like, are you kidding me? You know? So, again, it's just like we have to be aware of the story we're telling. And so I just invite you to choose into that as, yes, have empathy for yourself, kindness to yourself. I don't want you to berate yourself. I want you to be tender and aware and honor your body with that injury. So you are on a healing path. But babe, as you've already learned at some other season of your life, that sometimes our greatest adversities or our trials actually have the most beautiful openings for growth and opportunity. And I see it as something that if you're still out there and making things happen, hobbling around, to me, I'm like, that woman is vivacious. She's got a mission. She's out making things happen versus the alternatives of choosing to shrink or play small or hide. That's my thought initially.
I love it. So, so good.
Andy, anything you want to add to that?
Just, yeah, an amen and a hallelujah. I don't know if, Shelly, if you were at the convention here this past year, 2019, but there was a woman who's recognized who I can't remember what disease she was diagnosed with. She was a really young mother. I think she was maybe 30 or so, and she was diagnosed with a terminal degenerative illness, and the doctors gave her a year or less to live. And in that space, she went diamond in doTERRA. And they showed photos of her teaching oil classes from her hospital bed. There were three or four women gathered around her bed, and she's there teaching them. Was she the picture of health? Absolutely not. And she still had a message to share. And they brought her out as the very first diamond to be recognized at the gala. And I was so deeply inspired. I mean, the whole room was on their feet and in tears and just cheering. And so it's like Tiffany said, it's not about where you are. It's about where you're going. It's not about what life has given you, but what you've done with it. So if life gives you a terminal illness or a car accident or whatever life gives you, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to be a victim to it and say, well, so much for being a health advocate, I guess that one's out? Or are you going to be a stand for possibility? Are you going to be a witness of what can be? And we all get to stand in that choice. we all get to be a symbol of hope or a victim of what is. So that's our invitation to you, Shelley, is let this, let your mess become your message. You know, let it motivate you and drive you to be greater and to be even more vigilant about the things you're passionate about. So my two cents.
So true. And thank you for reminding us of that amazing woman and what she was creating. And I just feel like, don't you feel like, Andy, everything comes back in life to mindset?
Absolutely.
Right? So in essence, as I've been thinking about and writing about my these 10 lessons in 10 years, and there's a lot of things that can be, of course, that are influences to our success. Absolutely. And I would just say foundationally, you know, so much of it has to do with your mind and where your mind is at and the stories we're telling and the thoughts we're thinking and the perceptions we're creating. And again, I say that with, as it's saying it with like this heaping dose of self-tenderness, because it's just like some of the things I've been through in my life or that are tender to me, I'm still tender about them, but I also get to make choices, right? Like, how am I going to choose to move forward, or what am I going to choose to create from this experience? And it's still just knowing that I have a choice, even if the choice sometimes is, hey, I'm going to pull into Target. And, you know, like recently, my own heart was a little tender about something. And I was like, Target's a good idea. Right?
Retail now, therapy.
I didn't go crazy, but I did buy myself this really cute shirt and these little cute heart earrings, you know. And I was like, yeah. That was a really good decision, you know? So sometimes there's tenderness to it, but I know ultimately it's like, okay, how am I going to choose to navigate this, or how am I going to show up with this? And that just knowing that we still get to choose the narrative, like the narrative is not something that just has to be like, oh, I went through this and it means that my life is over, or that this, my business is stalled, or this thing happened. It's like, I get to choose the narrative with a lot of gentleness.
Yeah. I love that so much.
Yeah.
Grace is a better way to live.
Yes. Amen.
Well, this is a great way to wrap. Whenever you're in the middle of something hard, something that you wouldn't have chosen, something that's not pretty, I want to invite you to say to yourself, instead of life sucks, say, I'm in the middle of an inspiring story. So you'll notice that every story has a pattern, right? Ordinary world, opposition, right? Massive opposition, whether it's nature or people or yourself, but massive opposition is just part of that inspiring story formula. So when you're in that spot, that's the hardest time to believe that, but it's truth. If you can choose to give yourself grace and to be kind and to have hope regardless, then you're just in the middle of an inspiring story. Tiff, what else do you want to add?
Yeah, I just think we've covered it, and I think you just shared it. And so it's just being aware and being intentional. That's my favorite, one of my favorite words, is just being intentional about what you're creating, how you're showing up, what you're choosing to tell. It makes just a difference. So we love you. We cheer for you. We're grateful to be connected to you. We wish you all the best as we begin 2020. We'll see you guys next Wednesday at the same time. Bring a team member or two if you'd like. We'd love to have them here with us and helping more people expand their light and expand their confidence.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us, guys. See you next week.